We're in 2 Samuel chapter 8, and let's see, what do I want to read? I'll read verses 1 through 8, then we'll have our discussion, then I'll read 9 through 12, we'll have our discussion, and then we'll finish with 13 through 18, have our discussion, pray, and then we will be done for tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's dial in chapter 8, verse 1. And after this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines and conquered them, and David took Meth-Hegamath out of the hand of the Philistines, or David took control of the city out of their hands. Verse 2. And he attacked Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. Verse 3. David attacked also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border, or he went to recapture his border at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, 20,000 footmen, and David huffed or hamstringed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zoab, David killed of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons or military officers in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. Verse 7, and David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, and from Bethtah and from Bethhol, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceedingly much brass. So we'll stop right there. All right. Someone want to give me some thoughts on David, or verses 1 through 8.
Well, Pastor, if I may start off, I hope I start off right here. I looked at the first verse and I came to the conclusion that life and death is in the power of the tongue, but the Lord gave David life and death himself and everything, you know, by a rope and everything, and having the people to lay down, and out of so many of them, they were chosen to live, and so many was chosen to die and all, you know. So that's my starting off right there is what I got from that verse and all. You know, God is good and he has power and everything. He has all power and everything, you know. So I just started there.
Excellent. That's excellent, Brother Joseph. I mean, even as we're going through what we're going through now, and people are fearing death and life, number one, we know where life comes from and who we're connected to, but we do see in verse 2, the mercy of God and the sovereignty of God. David acts on behalf of God as he's going through and dealing with the enemies of God. Now, keep in mind, these are the enemies of God. And eventually, I mean, just like now, the enemies of Christ, I mean, there are people who don't want God anywhere, don't want Christ anywhere. It's going to come a time where the enemies of Christ are dealt with, just like the enemies right here of David are being dealt with and the enemies of God are being dealt with. But we do see the mercy of God in verse 2. Or some kind of way, some get saved, or some are not.
Yes.
And some are.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Quick question, Pastor.
Go ahead, Brother Earl.
The two lines measured to put to death in one full line, I didn't understand the line.
Yeah, the line. It's pretty much, when I looked it up, it was a cord. It's like he measured it. Hey, Earl, those on this side of the cord, you'd live.
Yeah.
Those on this side of the cord, okay, and you're not going to make it. Okay?
Amen.
And it was just that simple. Said he measured it out, man, and just whatever side of the cord you fell on, man, it was an actual cord. Yeah. Actually, what we call back in the day, where we used to hang our clothes. Not the young folks who have washers and dryers, but before washers and dryers, we had a clothesline. So
clothesline, yeah.
It was a cord. And,
okay.
And God, we see the mercy of God and the sovereignty of God at the same time. You are on the wrong side of the cord, you're being an enemy of God. But that's what happens. I mean, you exist for a while as an enemy of God, but then at some point we all gotta stand before God and answer to God. And people take chances. I mean, even look at the broad road and the narrow, difficult road. It says many that's on that broad road, and they get distracted, do whatever they want to do, but that broad road comes to an end at some point, and then you find yourself standing before God. And those of us that are saved, we've already experienced the mercy of God. And I guess we're on the save side of that cord, so to speak. But right here, they weren't. And it's even a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ, eventually he'll deal with his enemies. And I think we talked with someone this week, and it talked about how the righteous are going to scarcely be saved. How much more the sinner? I mean, we're barely going to make it in by the mercy of God, you know? So how much more those that are on that broad road and couldn't care less about God? Everybody's not... Mm-hmm. Everybody's not going to be saved. Everybody's, the world, you know, is lying to them, talking about, you know, everybody RIP. Everybody's not going to rest in peace if you're not connected to the if you're not connected to the Prince of Peace. If you haven't submitted your life to the Prince of Peace, if you're not living in peace with the Prince of Peace, then you're not going to rest in peace. So we see that right here, that it was a line drawn, a literal line drawn, not necessarily in the sand, but yeah. Great question.
You know, Pastor, and if I may, I remember when I was in Memphis, Tennessee, my grandparents always told me, don't let the sun go get home before the sun go down. And I was playing ball and really having a good time and everything. And I was looking at the sun and still having fun. So barely when it started going down, I'm trying to run home. And in the process of me running home, I ran into a clothesline. And the clothesline flipped me over to cut my eye. And I went inside and I had a black eye. And from then on, that kind of brought back memories too and all. You know, you have to be on the right side. You do the right thing with obedience, you know.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yes, I'm suffering from that now and everything. Yes.
That's right. That line is no joke.
But he still took care of me. That's right, but he still took care of me and everything. And amen. Yes.
Amen. The line of God is no joke. So
that's right. Sure is.
And then as I was reading this too, I mean, you just think about it. I'm like, I mean, he's just going through and wiping them out. I mean, what does it say? Yeah. And then at some point he's taking, and sometimes he just wipes out the time he takes. I mean, he's taken 20,000 footmen and saying, you know, you guys are coming with me. I mean, he's just captured armies and saying, you guys, you know, you're coming with me, or either he's taking them out. But then keep in mind, you know, these are the enemies of God.
Amen.
And there's consequences to that.
Amen.
Just like today, it's consequences of living your life apart from God. And people Amen. Take chances all the time. Don't want to hear what about the word, don't want to humble themselves, don't want to submit to God, don't want to surrender to the will of God. And you take your chance. You know, you live by chance. I choose to live by choice. And what does Joshua say as for me and my house? You know, choose who you're going to mm-hmm. serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it's a choice. Mm-hmm. We do Amen. Have free, we do have free will. God's not going to force anybody to live for him. He's not.
No.
We all will stand and have to deal with God. Verse 6, somebody help me out with verse 6. And David put garrison. Garrisons are like officers, military officers in Syria, Damascus. Mm-hmm. The Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David wheresoever he went. That's the key right there.
Yeah, I think for me, like the first verse says a lot to me because it says that in the course of time, David defeated the Philistine. Remember, the Philistines was been there. This is not the first time David fought the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes even in our lives, there's some kind of sin that don't think, you know, is going to be wiped away right in one. There's some Amen. Sins that will linger and they're going to linger. But we have to be consistent with the Lord so one day he will subdue them, all of them. Amen. Like I said, because David was fighting against these guys since he was a little man. That's since he, yeah, because he had defeated, which was a Philistine at those times. If you remember, Pastor, when we read about Samson, he was fighting against the Philistines too. Right. So don't think like everything in your life because, you know, everything's going to go away right away. Some things are going to linger, but your persistence and your consistency with the Lord has to stay intact. Because Amen. That's intact in due times, all those little things that you couldn't get rid of before, you're going to be able to get rid of, you know?
Amen. Amen.
That's Brother Pastor.
Outstanding.
I feel like David had a reputation that preceded him. He mm-hmm. took out the he took out one of the biggest Philistines, period, when he took out right. Goliath. So therefore, his reputation preceded him, and the order with the lines, God gave him specific purpose. He set up a couple of lines that they destroyed, and then they put up garrisons to keep the other ones in line because they were going to eventually be servants to David. So he did this in order to where he followed God, what he told him to do, and it was a systematic war continuously. He seemed like he got on a march, on a roll, and he continued to go through all the enemies that were against God, one by one by one, army by army, and city by city, and he ravaged them all. Mm.
It's a great point, Brother Cliff, and we've made a point as we've been going through the Old Testament, and it shows itself all the time. We serve a God of order. Specifics,
yes,
timing, and details. And as you said, just systematically, David's going through under the order of God and defeating his enemies. And as Brother Stanley said, it doesn't happen instantly, but it's the consistency with God. And God will give us the strength, but we got to be obedient and follow God's order and God's plan. As we see even with David's life, it's not an easy journey. I mean, there are times he was hiding in a cave. Having a javelin thrown at his head, you know, fearing for his life, you know, being ostracized and ridiculed by his brothers. You know, even when he came to see what was going on with Goliath, they said, man, we know what you're up to. You're always trying to get into something. You're always trying to mind somebody else's business. So, I mean, that's coming from family. So, but David's been consistent up until this point. And we see that we know that his heart is connected with God, even as we continue to read and we start seeing some inconsistencies with David's life. I mean, we've seen it. I don't know how many wives he has now, but he has quite a few just with that alone. You know, he's kind of out of order. We know that, but his heart's connected to God and it comes with consequences too. The disobedience, because we serve a God of detail and every little thing counts. Even though it might not, you know, catch up with you immediately, but we know that
right.
it has a tendency, especially if we continue in that thing, to be exposed more than likely at the wrong time. wrong time, but the right time for God, so that we can repent, confess, and get back in order with God. So great points. Anything else? Anything else?
Pastor, this is Joanne Fuller from Atlanta.
Yay.
You know, just
welcome.
God knew his heart, and he knew that he was going to stay the course. And by staying the course, in verse 6, it says he preserved him wherever he went. Mm-hmm. And he'll do the same for us. As long as we stay the course and be obedient, you know, we're going to stray. We all fall and get up. But just stay, get back on the course, and he will preserve us as well.
Amen. Amen. And Sister Joanne, you talk about a timely word to read and to kind of embrace with everything that's going on today. Stay the course and be obedient, and God will preserve us as well. So thank you for bringing that out. Thank you for highlighting that. And then it just, you know, I guess the thing that I struggle with, even as I'm studying, you know, it just comes down to, I just have to either believe it or, you know, is it the same God that David served, that we're serving? And if he did it for David, he'll do it for me, even in the midst of everything that's going on. And so I'm reading it, I'm staying on the word of God, and I'm praying and I'm begging and I'm pleading, saying, God, if you did it for David, do it for me, cover my family, preserve us, be with us wherever we go. And then it's just up to me to trust God and believe it. And that's where the personal relationship comes in, because nobody can trust God and believe God for you. You have to, as we read a couple of weeks ago, you have to do your dance out of your clothes because of your relationship with God and what you know God has done for you, regardless of who's looking, regardless of who's telling you, it was David's wife telling him, you look like a fool there dancing. Yeah. He said, you know, I'm dancing before the Lord. My story. You don't know what God has done. So it's just up to us really to embrace that now and just know that our relationship with God is real. And so we can walk out of here confident, saying, if God preserved David, that's the same God, and he'll preserve me. If he'll guard, if he'll keep, if he'll be there for David, then he'll be there for me. And I believe that, and I'm going to live my life as such. I'm not going to live recklessly. I'm going to live obediently. But I know that God is with me wherever I go. And that is to be highlighted. Anything else, 1 through 8, anyone would like to highlight or share?
Well, I like that when it says that God give him victory wherever he go. He didn't say he gave him victory in some of the places he went. David wasn't a perfect person, but he's still, with his connection with the Lord, he's still giving victory wherever.
Yeah.
You know, not just in places God thought, no, wherever he went, God gave him the victory. So even throughout this virus, throughout whatever, we have to know that the same God that gave David victory wherever he went shall give us victory even through these times.
Amen. 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 I like that. Victory wherever we go. Amen. As we walk in obedience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As I was reading the commentaries in verses 7 and 8, and it was saying David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadazer and brought them to Jerusalem. Verse 8, and from Betah and from Berothah, cities of Hadazer, King David took exceeding much brass. And it was saying he was taking those things because he knew at some point he would need them to build the temple. And so isn't that something? David was like, okay. Because remember, he already asked God he'd like to build a house for him. And God said, no, you're not going to build the house for me. So David knew that his son would be building the house. And so David was taking things for God. And we'll see as we read it later that he consecrated those things. He set those things apart for God, which is pretty insightful and having foresight to set things aside for God.
Amen.
Okay, anyone else? 1 through 8, then we'll do 9 through 12 if there's no other thoughts on 1 through 8. No other questions.
Pastor Jerome, which translation are you reading?
I'm reading the New King James Version.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
I'm sorry, Cynthia, that's not true. I'm reading the King James Version.
Okay.
Not the new. I'm reading the King James Version, okay?
Okay.
All right. I don't even know where that new came from. Verse 9. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had killed all the host of Hadazar, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David to bless him or to salute or to greet him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadazar and smitten him, for Hadazar had wars with Toi, and Joram brought with him vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord, with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued, of Syria and of Moab, and of the children of Ammon, and of the Philistines and Amalek, and of the spoil of Hadazar, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. Oh my gosh. All right. So I'll pause right there. Any thoughts?
Brother Pastor, I think that you mentioned that all the brass and everything that he was collecting, normally they would say that to the victor go the spoils. But David had a purpose for all of these different fine metals and strong metals and stuff. And you mentioned it. You said that he would end up using that material. So that's pretty smart on him to take what he needed while he was gone. So that when he got to the destination, for whatever purpose it was for the temple. But he collected and took these things along with him. They carried them as precious metals because there was a purpose for him. God had given him a purpose for all these things that he knew he would need.
Amen. Amen. And go ahead, Sister Brandy.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish your comment.
No, go ahead. I'm taking notes. Go.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I just liked how I also have King James Version. And it said, which also King David dedicated unto the Lord. I think specifically the word that I focus on was that dedication and how he dedicated whatever God gave him back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that just, to me, that speaks to like when God gives us something that we have mm-hmm. to be humble enough to say thank you and dedicate it back over to him, because basically we are just managers of it. You know, he owns it. You know, he just wants to trust us with it. So we dedicate it to him as a thank you.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, just kind of piggyback on what Sister Brandy said, when we do that, we pick and choose what we want to dedicate to the Lord. We're not doing like he did. I mean, everything his hands touched, he was giving it back. But we pick and choose. You know, we'll take the baby at 6 months and we'll give a tithe this month when we're on right. We're not consistent in what we should be doing as David was.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, that's just what I was going to say, Brandy and Cynthia. So we're all right on. But, you know, it just goes to show that we should be good stewards over what God has given us.
Yes.
We should be paying our tithes, giving an offering.
Yes.
There should be some type of charity or group that you give to personally, not the church, but you
right.
do. So you can always just know personally that it's not about me, and it kind of gets us out of our, you know, our self-centered ways. It should be something that you vetted and you say, you know what, I'm going to give a monthly donation to this calls, because I know it's showing God that I'm really concerned about what concerns him. And then it keeps me from getting caught up thinking that this stuff actually means something, you know, like this,
yeah.
Like I can take this with me, or it means more than it. It's just a tool. Remember, money's the tool. Money's never the assignment. When we get it mixed up and money becomes the assignment and not the tool, then that is a problem. David is a perfect example of this. It was not an assignment. It was just a tool. That's why he could give it back to the Lord, mm-hmm. And consecrate it. It says dedicated, which also means to consecrate it. He set it apart for mm-hmm. God. So we should always be given a tithe offering. We should always set that aside for God, because we can trust that God can do more with the 90%, more with the 10% than we could do with the 90%.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's the connection. David was a man after God's own heart. So his heart was connected to God in everything. And we know how tough it is, even now, if our finances have taken a hit. But when we get any type of increase, we still, because God's in control or he's not. Mm-hmm. And that's only your heart can answer that. When you look, you know, at your check or your increase, and you look at it and you say, well, I need this because it's rough now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's good.
What's God is God's. You got to get it. I mean, if we're trusting God, I'm dedicating it to God, and there we go, and let God work out the details, because I know I serve a God of details, specifics, order, and timing.
Amen. At
the right time, in order, and specifically, and detail, God's going to bring me through. God's going to bring us through. But that's the obedience.
And also, Pastor, one more thing, too. Even though, I mean, I don't know if I'm going too much into it, but like how I said, King David dedicated to the Lord, like David was the king, and he still also just made sure he submitted himself under the Lord, because he still was in a position, but he could have just took a position and just did, I'm the king, but he said, no, I'm the king, but I'm still going to submit myself under the Lord, because he's my ultimate authority.
Absolutely. No, that's a perfect highlight, Sister Brandy, because remember, we had the king before him, which was Saul, and Saul said, I'm gonna do my own thing. And you see how, oh, it worked. It was horrible, a horrible life and a horrible death for him. Yeah. We read in First Chronicles 29, when David died, he blessed the Lord, and he decreed and declared in First Chronicles 29:11 that God, you are the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. So in life, and even as he was getting ready to transition to be with God, he still decreed and declared was all about God. And we see it right here. So what a testimony. And him being the king, he knew he's the king, but he know that he serves the King of Kings. But not only that, he know that he serves the greatness.
Right.
But David knew that when he fought Goliath, he said, man, I'm not going to fight you under my own strength. I come to you in the name of the Lord. David already knew how powerful God was. He told him, look, man, he told Saul, hey, look, man, I had it was a lion and a bear that came and took me, and I took it out of their mouth, man. I know the God that I serve. So with that attitude and that mindset and that heart set, then, I mean, so here we are to live it, right? If it's the same God, we can dedicate our finances to the Lord, being good stewards over what God has given us, right?
Yes.
In the toughest of times, and knowing that God is going to see us through. And that's, we have to be good stewards over what God has given us. And, you know, I don't know how many of you are, you know, you read Dave Ramsey's book, and he talks about, you know, how much you should save each month and how much you should put away in case things get like they are now, mm-hmm. you know, but that's just wisdom. And Joseph was one of the perfect examples of wisdom. He stored up for this in the 7 years of fatness. He stored up for the 7 years of famine. Amen. So when it's going good for us, we don't get reckless. We got to be good stewards for when the times of famine comes, we can be a blessing to others.
Amen.
And that's another way we witness. God's given me the wisdom, and I want to be a blessing to you. And would you like to hear more about God? Yeah, of
course. Okay.
if you want this blessing, you might want to listen to what I'm going to tell you. Whether you want to listen or not, whether you want to or not, you're going to listen. So it's just another way to be an example and share the good news of Christ. But David modeled that. That's with his finances. Anything else you want to share? Let me see.
Pastor Carter.
Yes. Sister Vani, yes.
Another thing that stands out to me is without God, we aren't able to do anything. And as we read that the Lord gave David victory wherever he went, we need to remember that all the things that we do, even in the church or, you know, in our secular lives, all the things that we do, we're able to do them because of the Lord.
Amen.
There is nothing that we can do without him. So as vessels, sometimes, I mean, in our humanity, we think, I am doing this for God, or I did this, or I did that. I think God gives us the strength to do everything. He's the one that gives us the wisdom to do everything. And he is the one that allows us to get where we get to, whatever level we get to. And he's going to continue to move us forward. So when we're in the Lord, he has a plan for us. So when we're in the Lord, he allows us to reach to the point where he wants us to be according to his perfect will. So as a vessel, we should always remember to give God the glory. So as I see David presenting this gifts back to the Lord in every time he conquered the people he went to fight, we as well need to always give the glory to God in anything that we do, that we see that there is a success, or where we see that we pull through. It's not because of us, but it's because of what God did through us or in us. I don't know if I said that right, but I just believe that the glory always belongs to the Lord.
Amen. No, you said it absolutely right. What God mm-hmm. has done through us and in us, God receives the glory for it. I mean, I think about it all the time. If God didn't give us the strength to get up this morning, we couldn't even get out of bed.
Right.
You know, amen. So, you know, and those of us that went to college, if God didn't give you the mind to focus or to study, you wouldn't have got through. You think you did on your own? A lot of people are finding out now that what they thought meant a lot doesn't really mean that much. Hmm. And what they thought they were in control of, we're not in control of anything. God shut this whole thing down. God allowed this whole thing to be shut down. and we just hope it doesn't get any tighter, you know?
Right. It's tight.
It's gotten, you know, it's gotten restrictive, but it could be a lot worse. You know, we can still go out and walk around our homes and get some fresh air and all that kind of stuff. They could declare martial law and you think, man, you outside on the streets, you in trouble. I mean, but I'm walking around thinking I'm in charge and I did this and I did that. And we see, man, we really don't have, I mean, without God, we don't have anything. And that's why it's a perfect and opportune time for us to get out and share the good news of the gospel, because people are trying to figure out what's going on. Well, what you thought was going on, which was you, is never really was. And God tells us to take it one day at a time. I mean, that's what's going to happen. God didn't tell you to worry about that. God said, take it one day at a time, and I'll provide for you one day at a time.
Yeah,
that's all that he told us to do. So, I mean, it's nice, and we want to get comfortable and say, well, I'm, you know, I know that I got things planned out for the next year. Seriously? Okay. All right. Let me know how that works out for you.
that part.
yeah. But here's another thing I wanted to highlight too. And thank you, Sister Yvonne, because we have to give God the glory for everything. And that's a learned, that's a mature place to be in, you know, where you can wake up and just everything. You can look out the window, you can stop, you can pause and to say, Lord, And those of us that are, you know, a little bit over, let's say above, over 50, right?
Yes.
You know, we
higher. Yeah,
right, right. I'm gonna start at 50, right? But y'all know every day is a bonus.
Yes, it is.
You know, every day is a bonus.
And, Amen.
Man, and you gotta wake up, and if you're not being grateful, then it's you got some maturing to do. Right?
Yes.
If you still find the stuff to complain about and be negative about and be upset about, and you over 50, you got some maturing to do. Because this thing is not promised, and we got to celebrate every day. You're wasting time if you're not celebrating God every day.
Every day.
That's right? Good. So look, check out verse 9. Because see, this is what we need to do. All right. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had killed all the host of Hadazar, then Toi sent his son unto David to bless him. He wanted to make peace with the king. Hear what I'm saying. See the comparison. It's a smart move to make peace with the king. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's a smart move. Jesus is going is thrown. Don't wait till Jesus comes in his wrath and he said, you want to make it might be too late. Mm-hmm. But we've seen what God has done. It is a smart move to make peace with the king, right? This dude said, look, hey, son, go let David know. Matter of fact, take him some silver, take him some gold. Him know we ain't got nothing against him. Matter of fact, we want to make peace with the king because we see what's happening. We see that the king is in charge. And whether they knew that the king was working for God or not, they knew they needed to make peace with the king. We know that our king is part of the Trinity.
That's
so
right.
Don't. That's why I'm saying, if we're not being grateful every day, I don't know. We got to mature. We got to make peace with. When we have peace with the king, it's easy to have peace with others because we know, like Sister Yvonne said, everything we do is through the glory of God in us and through us. So when I realize that, it's not easy to. It's not hard for me to be thankful and to be grateful. It's not.
Me too.
It's not because I know the king is the reason I can do anything. All right. Well, I like that.
All right.
That's going to have to be the name of a poem, Sister Carrie, because the king, I know I can do anything. All right. He's responsible for me doing anything. But I thought that was just incredibly fascinating that they said, look, dude, please go tell this dude we don't want no problems.
Yeah.
Amen. How about that? The bully in the neighborhood, you see him coming, you don't want no problems. Hey, man, you want the, hey Earl, that's like when we see Tyke come, it's like, hey Tyke, we don't want no, trust me, you don't want no problems with the bully, you don't make peace with the king, you know, you don't want problems with that dude. So I thought that was pretty awesome. So let's finish with 13 through 18, unless there's any other comments on 9 through 12.
I just wanted to make a point, Pastor Jerome, fact that these numbers were being kept.
Right, right.
The men that were being captured and all the kings that were falling at the hands of David. Somebody, I think it says eventually there was a recorder.
Yes, sir.
And a secretary who was counting the numbers, and all the people that he hadn't got to yet had to know that he was coming.
Yeah.
With all that he had defeated and all that he was collecting and the ones he didn't kill, they end up serving him. So there was a purpose in all these numbers, letting the people know that he was on his way and he was a conqueror.
Mm. And God was with him. And there you go again, Brother Cliff. So every little thing we do counts. God of detail and specifics. He's given numbers to let you know, oh, this is not happenstance. This is how we're doing it. And these are the numbers that go with it. They can be measurable results. Man, that's detail. And so when I stand before God, I'm going to say, God, you didn't really care about the least. He said, son, everything you did counted. Everything you did good, everything you did bad, everything you did ugly. Okay, so just know that, family. Everything counts. Every little thing counts. So that keeps me on my toes most of the time. Most of the time. I can't say all the time. And I know it counts. But, you know, we all want to just say, oh, well, this ain't that big of a deal. Yeah, actually, it is, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? Got to be real with it, God. I know it counts, but I just want to do my own thing tonight. So Yeah, I know I got an answer for it, but I don't fool yourself and say it don't count. It does count.
So all right. Compared
to that point, and then be honest and say, well, I just want to do my own thing. Okay, that's good. I'm a confess and repent and forsake. I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to fool myself in thinking that God is not an issue to God, because it is. I've seen time after time the detail, the specifics, the order and the timing with God, and it all counts. Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 All right, so let's finish up 13 through 18, unless there's anything else. Anybody else, 9 through 12, anything else? All right. Verse 13, and David got him a name. When he returned from killing all the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. All right, Brother Cliff, there you go. Look at that.
Yes, sir.
And he put army officers in Edom, throughout all Edom, and put garrisons in all. And all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved, there you go again, make a note of that. The Lord kept covered, guided, and was with David wherever he went. David, verse 15, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment. Make a note, he executed judgment and justice unto all the people. Verse 16, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, or he was over the army.
Mm-hmm.
And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Amalek, the son of Abiathar, were the priests, and Sariah was the scribe. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoadad, was over both the Cherites and the Pelethrites, and David's sons were chief rulers.
Amen.
What we talk about, detail, specific, order, timing. Somebody talk to me about what stood out in those last verses. What kind of ministered to you? What stood out to you?
Order, timing, and judgment.
Ain't that something?
Yes, and from where he started in the beginning, the victories continue throughout the end.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
And then also too, like on verse 13, where it says, and David got him a name when he returned, it was basically that his name, I think someone already said it, like his name preceded him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As he went out. So it's almost like as we do the things for God, people are watching you, people see you, and then your name will be made great. But he didn't do it, you know, the people, you know, or I'm not sure who gave him that great name, but name will precede you. It's almost like when you'll go in the room and God will make room for you.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything.
Come on now, you prepare that table before you in the presence of your enemies, and you just walk in the room. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know with that, there comes issues and there comes jealousy and envy, because that's why David had a name. They were saying, Saul is killing his 1,000, David's killing his 10,000. Saul couldn't handle it. Everybody can't handle people saying, well, you know, wow, this young lady, this young man, this person, there's something special. So just know that. But David knew who was called. And then look, it was reiterated in verse 14 that the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So as long as you and I are working for God, let the haters come, let them go. But you keep working for God, and they can't stop you. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get into your own self and you know, we start doing our own thing, then we get ourselves up to the tricks and the schemes of the enemy. But as long as we're walking obedience with God, regardless of what they say, they can't stop what God is doing. Only thing can stop what God is doing is disobedience.
Yeah.
Brother Pastor, I think right here before, it's a short one, but in verse 15, it says, David administered justice and righteousness for all his people.
Mm-hmm.
right there.
Come on.
All he did, all he conquered, everything else. But when he was a ruler, it said he ruled with justice and righteousness for all his people. I think that's important. Well, it caught my heart.
Amen. Amen, Brother Cliff. And as he's being a type and shadow of Christ, it said justice and righteousness. He judged them. He was, and that's all you can ask from a leader, to be just and to be fair and to be right. Don't play favorites. Treat people the way, that they should be treated. Don't treat this group over here one way. David didn't do any of that. David was there. He was right. And that's what, because his heart was connected to God's heart, he could do that. And when our heart is connected to God's heart, we can do that. And we're reminded that it's only because of God that I have anything. So don't let me start being, unjust and unrighteous as if I can really, that's really my call, right? That was a beautiful thing. And then as he continues on, as a good leader. So a good leader is just and fair. But then look at his leadership skills. He delegated. He didn't try and do it.
Yeah.
He said, you're going to do this. I got you to, everybody do what they do best. Mm-hmm. Right? So as we're at our prospective churches and ministries, I don't need to do what Brother Sandley's doing. I don't need to try, although I wish I could sing like Sister Brandy or Sister Yvonne or John, but that's not my call. Everybody do what they do best. Delegate. We delegate and put people in order as a good leader.
It should.
And then put people right where the kingdom of God can thrive.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Amen.
So put people in order because we serve a God of order, detail, and specifics so the kingdom of God can thrive. And here it is again. And if you got an issue with somebody being somewhere and you're not there, then that's your level of spiritual maturity. You got to mature. You can't do it. You're not supposed to do everything. You can't do everything. God doesn't want us doing everything. He said he gave out the some apostles and some prophets and some teachers and some evangelists. Right. Then we got spiritual gifts and the hand can't say I don't need the arm, and the arm can't say. Wow. Wherever you are and whatever your gift is, allow God to use that. And if you're jealous or envious of what somebody else is doing, then you got a lot of maturing to do. Because you don't understand how this body is fitly joined together.
Yes.
And I as I was reading that as a leader, and Cynthia, you know this, and the business owners out here, Cynthia, you were an administrator. I was an administrator. We're working at the schools, and you got to put people in place. Otherwise, nothing gets done, and it's all jacked up and tacky because you're trying to run everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And along the same line, a little sidebar, our church here in Georgia, Elizabeth Baptist, we're doing a church-wide study, not ironically, but timely, according to our God, that's orderly, decently, and specifically in details. We're doing a study called More, and we're talking about unique masterpieces. I don't know if you read or heard of it. It's Todd Wilson. This is what we're going through now. And just what you're saying, God doesn't want us doing everything. We're to pull out that ministry, we're to be that unique masterpiece and do what Come he has now. Called us to get with our spiritual gifts and talents that God gave us and how we should use them. So all this is tied together. And I just keep going back to the order and the details and the timing. Even with what we're going on in this world today, we don't even have to say nation. We can say our prospective cities, but it is timely. It is very detailed, and it's in order.
Amen. And then as we get to our own personal homes, then let's make sure we have our own personal homes in order. Where we're flowing with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the meekness, the self-control, all those things allow your home to be decent and in order. Forgiveness, mercy. That's what was highlighted in verse two where David drew the line. And there you see, even in the midst of battle, there's some mercy there.
Amen.
The mercy was right there. The loving kindness was there that spared some folks. You got to have mercy and the forgiveness in your house. You got to have that. It, as your house is in order, if you're trying to rule your house, what does it say? Rules without relationship just equals rebellion. If you're trying to run your house with no relationship, with no mercy, with no love, with no kindness, you're trying to run your marriage like that or your relationship with your kids like that, that's out of order for a believer. And we have to be in a much more mature place so that as God's putting our spiritual life in order, we have our home in order according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, right? Mm-hmm. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. God is His Word, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Where's the fruit of the Spirit as we're getting things in order? You got to have self-control. You got to have long-suffering. The joy comes with it and the peace. As we make peace with the King, that's part of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to do because it's already in us. I wrote down some names. Some of that I kind of looked up the name. So look at verse 16. Well, let's start at verse 15. It says, "And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all." I think Brother Stanley mentioned that. It wasn't just a few, all of them, all his people. And then verse 16, Joab, his name means Jehovah is father. So Jehovah is father. He's over all the army. And then we get Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, his name is Jehovah has judged. Jehoshaphat, he was the recorder, and God is judge. Verse 17, Zadok is righteous. His name means righteous. Ahimelech, his name means my brother is king. Let's go down to verse 18. What's that? Benaiah, his name means Jehovah has built. And then we get down to, and he was over the, the Cherethites. The Cherethites are the executions. Oh my gosh. And he was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Those are the couriers. So he had two things. He's in charge of people being executed and then notices being delivered. But that's what he did best. And as you see the names, there we are again, specifics, order, detail, timing. Everybody's where they are on purpose. But here's the beautiful thing. I want to end with this. Here's the beautiful thing. As the king put them in position, right? David looked out for his people, put them in position because he was king. But then Jesus has looked out for us and put us in position, right? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. So the king is supposed to look out for his people and put them right where they're supposed to be. Oh man, I love God's word. And as God has put us in position right where he wants us to be. And through Jesus Christ, Jesus said, look, I'm gonna do something for you. David said, look, I'm gonna put y'all right here because that's where y'all gonna fit best. God says, look, you in Christ, I'm elevating you to leadership position. All right. We might feel inadequate or whatever, but it doesn't negate the fact that God has elevated us and then we got to mature so we can be right where God wants us to be. So look at, did I say Revelation chapter 1?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Let me make sure I got it right. Okay. Let's start with verse 5 because it's our king. David was their king and he knew that God was his king, but let's just start right with our king. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Oh man, make a note. This is one of our meditation scriptures in the morning when I wake up, regardless of what's going on in the world today. Let me start over again. I'm getting distracted. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, here's where I was trying to get to, but I had to read five, okay? You just can't go to six without five. And hath made us, look how he's elevated us, kings and priests unto God his Father. So that's all, we're all royalty. And when it means us, it's generic. It means those in him, mankind, which includes our sisters and our brothers that are in Christ. This is what God has made us. David elevated his people. Christ has elevated his people. So I can't be upset, man. Why David didn't elevate? Why we didn't get it? Why I didn't get a position? You do have a position. You do. And it's an elevated position. It's a mature position. Let me read six again. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Behold, he come with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Ha! And all kings, every tribe, nation, tongue of the earth shall well because of him. Even so, so be it. And verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He starts it, he's going to finish it, saith the Lord. Look at this, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He got it all covered. What about an old? Yeah, that's which was. What about which is and what about which is to come? He's elevated us to be kings and priests. I love you for that, Lord. And that's what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's why David danced out of his clothes. That's why we got to give God the glory for everything, because we ain't did nothing.
Amen.
And he's elevated us, just like he showed it with David. He's elevated us. And even when we get into chapter 9 and David goes looking for the family of Jonathan, anybody left? And he finds Mephibosheth.
Yes.
Man, God ain't forgot us. Oh,
nobody.
No. That ain't nobody. Hey, no, God ain't forgot. God's been looking for us for a long time just to come running to him like this through his word and being reminded of who he is. Lord, we love you for that. Lord, we love you for that and for this study to remind us in the midst of everything that's going on. This is the God we serve. Now it's up to us to apply this word, believe this word, live this word, unplug from the other stuff. Read Revelation 1:5-8 again when you're feeling anxious and the anxiety and it looks like it's closing in and what am I going to do? Hey, we're kings and priests. God's elevated us to that through Christ. So God, if you've elevated me, then you haven't forgotten about me. And if you're a God of order, detail, specifics, and timing, then I'm trusting you in that. God, help us to really embrace it and live it. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we acted outside of your will and wanted to do it because, well, God, I gotta kind of finagle this a little bit because I don't know if what's gonna happen. Well, we walk by faith and we're not by sight. We don't have to finagle anything. We have to trust God and allow God to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So God, forgive us for that. And we're learning and we're growing as we go through this study together.
This is so good.
Mm. Yeah. And any other thoughts, takeaways, and we're going to close this out with prayer. If you have any specific prayer, you know that you can email us at life@southbayalc.com. And also for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to give your tithes or your offering, you can go to the website and click the giving button. If you're on your phone, you click those three dots on the side and click giving. As we've talked about giving, if you get an increase, you're still working and you say, well, I need to hold on to this. I would challenge you to trust God. And if you're a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church, I'm you know, challenging you to still pay your tithes and offerings, even in the midst of this. If you're not a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church and you want to make a donation, feel free to go to our website. Just click the giving button and make a donation. And it's not because, you know, we're begging, because we don't play games or tricks or gimmicks for money. But you're just know that you're building the kingdom of God so we can keep getting the word out like we're doing tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And we're grateful and we're thankful for your giving. And just as equally as important, you send those prayer requests. We have a team of people that's praying every week, every day. and we'll get your name to them, and so your situation can be lifted up. You don't even have to include your name, just the situation, and we'll be praying for it. Initials. We're praying for it. Just know that you got people here that are praying for you, and at this time, you know, that's a good thing to know.
Pastor Carter.
Yes.
Pastor Carter.
Yes, I'm here, Brother Joseph.
Yes. I just want to know if I could send my tithes to the South Bay Abundant Life Church. Could I mail it there?
Yes.
Or do I just wait?
Yeah, you can do that, Brother Joseph. And even with
2679, I have it on
your bulletin
slip that I put my tithes in. I'll just put it in a regular envelope and then put the tithes in, and then I mail it to the address here on my slip.
That's correct. And we would ask that you don't send cash. Don't send cash through the mail.
I'll send a check. I'll send a check.
Absolutely. There you go. There you go.
Yep. Thank you so much, sir.
No, thank you. And we'll get it. Not a problem. And we'll keep building the kingdom of God with it and getting this word out, the solid word of God that we can stand on. Man, can we stand on this word tonight or what? I'm so excited of what Christ has done for us. Said he is, which was. He's right now what has been, the Ancient of Days and what is to come. And I have to start saying it correctly, because I say, Christ, you're the beginning and the end, but he's not. He said he's the beginning and the ending. Ending, ing, us teachers, we know what that ing means. That's the future tense. He's like, I'm a new word. I started this thing. Trust me. I don't care what goes on. I'm going to finish this thing too. I am the beginning and the ending. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I am the ending. And he said, those who pierced him, they're going to have to deal with me too. Not as the lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? It's going to be a lot different when the lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Now you got to deal with the lion of the tribe of Judah. And there will be wailing. Amen? It will be a difference. And the way things are going now, this message is being put out. He said the whole world has to hear the gospel before he returns.
All right.
It's getting put out there. I tell you what. It's getting put out there. So all I can say is let's stand on this word. Let's stay committed to the word. The same link that got you in tonight is the same link that'll get you into next Wednesday. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And wait till next week, even next week's chapter. I've kind of peeked ahead. Oh, my gosh, what God does. How he hasn't forgotten us, how he looks out for us. God is amazing. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and close out. I wrote some takeaways down, but if you all want to share a few people, let's have just a couple people share a takeaway, what you're taking away from tonight, and then I'm going to pray, and then we are going to dismiss.
Well, Pastor, I like to say what made David a good king is he was after God's heart and he was after the people's heart too and everything by teaching them to be humble with the things that he did and everything.
Amen. Amen. What a takeaway. Stay connected to God's heart. Amen.
My takeaway would be give everything back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he gives you, make sure you give it back to him, because you didn't do it on your own in the first place.
Amen.
Amen.
Any other takeaways before we go ahead and then pray on out of here? I like Brother Sandler. I like what you said earlier, where the enemy doesn't go away instantly. It's a process, a maturity process. Right? Where God's maturing us as we go through the different battles. But then it shows also that we have victory. Other takeaways, we have victory wherever we go as long as we're with God, walking in obedience to God. Even when it doesn't look like it, we do.
Yeah. Pastor Carter, my takeaway would be that going back to verse 15, that, you know, our leaders of today would rule like David ruled back then, just and righteously.
Amen. Makes a big difference. Amen.
Amen.
And then also what we have leadership over, the people God allowed us to lead, whether it's inside our home or on our job, that we remember that we have to lead like that. I know some of you are in leadership positions, and it's not because of you, it's because of what God has done for you and opened doors. And use those leadership skills to delegate and to judge fair and just. Lead your family, lead your kids fair and justly. Amen.
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 Thank you. Okay. Well, any other takeaways other than Jesus is Lord, he's the King, died for our sins. I love that verse in Revelation.
Wow.
And he looked out for us. He's elevated us. Enemy gonna try and remind you of your past, but you remember what God has done and elevated you now and with our future. Amen.
Yeah.
That past is covered by the blood of Christ. Don't let the enemy, torture you with that and have you living in fear. We know it's not based on anything we've done. We can look at David's life. It's not based on anything he's done. It's that God is with him. And so we know that God's with us. So God will continue to be with us. And we know we'll have the victory just like David did. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you all and pray. And then I'll unmute and say good night. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you. What an awesome word tonight, Lord. We're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you as we study the life of David, God. We see our King as David's leading the people. We see our King leading us, Lord. And we just pray that you help us to be obedient to your word, God. Continue to live for you. Walk in obedience, God. Be with us. Give us victory, even over that constant enemy, that enemy that's always been there from when we were a kid, trying to remind us and trying to remind us of our past and continue to trip us up along the way, God. But we see that there comes a time as we're consistent and obedient, God, that we will have victory even over that enemy. And then we go deal with the next enemy. And in the midst of that, Lord, let us make peace with the King each and every day. Let our hearts be connected to the King, God, and unwavering. Our foundation is Christ, a resurrected Savior, Christ crucified and resurrected on that third day. Let that always be our foundation. Let it be our hope. He which is, which was, and which is to come, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the author and the finisher of our faith, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, thank you for elevating us, God, as we're going through, Lord. We just pray that you be with us. God, cover our homes as we get ready to celebrate the Passover and Resurrection Sunday. Lord, allow any virus or anything that's not godly to pass over our homes, Lord, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, protect us and keep us. Give us wisdom to be good stewards over everything that you have given us, to be good stewards over everything that you have given us. And let us remember that apart from you, we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let us live a life of decency, of order, of specifics, of timing. Let our home be a home of order, specifics, timing, a godly home, Lord. Let us operate in love, in mercy, in long-suffering, in self-control. We thank you, Lord. Strengthen us for the journey ahead. Empower us, God, for the work ahead. Let us be faithful to you. Let us pray for one another, God. Pray for the body of Christ now. Let it come together like never before to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. God, we're committed. We stand on it. Help us with as the ruler prayed. He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So, Lord, help us in the areas that we don't believe. We're not that committed. We're not that trusting. God, strengthen us in those areas as we have time to focus and examine our own hearts and evaluate where we are. Strengthen us, Lord, the areas that we don't believe. Help our unbelief. so we can stand firm in the word of God and not walk around in fear, being afraid of anything. For we know you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we pause and we bless you tonight. We salute you, we congratulate you, and we thank you for doing what we couldn't do for our own selves. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for keeping us safe another day, another moment. We love you for that, and we trust you, Lord, with our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Amen. Y'all, I know it's kind of late on the East Coast. Our friends in Atlanta, thank you, Cynthia, Joanne, thank you all so much for joining us. We love you. We bless you. Get some sweet sleep tonight. And hope you'll join us next week. It's next week. Oh, the power of God is just flowing out of his word in chapter 9. And the grace and the mercy of God is just a beautiful thing to see. And that's the same God that we serve. So be encouraged with you all tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Love you, Pastor.
Love you all. Have a good night.
Love you. Good night, everybody.
Love everyone.
Hey, we'll see you all Sunday.
Good night.
Sunday at 9 a.m. With our live stream Sunday Easter service. Same coordinates. I'll post up on Facebook for our Facebook family so you can tap into us on Easter Sunday, and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Before everybody come, I want to kind of let y'all know, just like they had a plague in the time of Egypt, and the Lord told them to put the Lamb of Blood on their doors, so also now we're going through a plague right now. We have the Lamb of God with us, which is the blood of Jesus himself. So this plague shall also pass over our house.
Amen. Receive that, brother. Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you, Pastor. Brother, I'll see you next week, man.
Thank you all so much.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Cynthia. Love you. Cliff, love y'all. Good night.